You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another edition of the Zipline Logistics
Truck Yeah
podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, our Director of Training and Development, Teddy Lee Knox. Teddy, good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Wonderful. We have a special guest with us today.
Do.
Another Dispatch Diaries here on the Truck Yeah podcast. Joining us from the East team, Mr. Jake Shaw. Jake, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Wonderful to have you here. Let's get a quick overview. How long have you been at Zipline?
7 years, mostly on the West team.
Yeah. Did you start in the East team?
No. So I was on spot team about a year, maybe 9 months. And then the West Coast team for almost six years.
Yeah.
And then early this year, moved over to the East team.
Moved over to the East. We had some departures, needed a wily vet to come in and shore up the East team.
So you're going to have some good stories for us from different regions, not just one. This is exciting.
Coast to coast.
Are we your first job in logistics?
No, I worked at, well, sort of. I worked at UPS prior.
Okay.
But that was more, I was a supervisor in their warehouse over on Trebu. So not quite what we do here, but, you know.
Logistics experience. Yeah. Very cool. So today we're talking about the current state of the market. Some stories, hopefully some fun stories from the past, but let's kind of talk about, you know, your view of the marketplace. What's the typical conversation with a carrier right now?
Well, I mean, it depends on the lane. Anything coming out of the Southeast right now, we're basically just taking any trucks we can get right now.
Yeah.
It's been a tough market to procure trucks in. We still have some, you know, decent lanes where we have leverage over carriers. Outbound Massachusetts is a big one for us, but it's been tough for us on the carrier side here.
And not a whole lot of haggling going on, I'm assuming then.
No, we don't want to lose trucks right now.
Yeah, particularly produce season. You know, we're recording this in July. I know some people might listen to it later, but July 2024. You know, produce season is still in swing in the Southeast. Outbound California is as heated up, it's still heating up, so carriers want to go there. Overall, most of the spot, there's seasonality with the marketplaces, like I just mentioned, but overall, there's still capacity to be had, right? There's options.
Yeah. I think carriers are out there. They're positioning themselves in markets where it benefits them.
Yeah.
So we've been navigating that. It's really been the first produce that we felt the last couple of years, kind of been non-existent, but came back with a vengeance, 2024.
Yeah, it's been a rough 3 months or so. That's interesting. You mentioned that they're positioning themselves in the spots that are beneficial to them. That's definitely a strategy. Some of our carrier partners don't have that opportunity, right? They're maybe more regionally based.
I mean, there's still definitely some carriers that we use year round that have the same capacity for us, and you know they help us out as much as they can with rates. You know, when they're spiking significantly, they do still want more money. We don't have like year-round rates locked in. Like we don't sign people to agreements or anything. But then you do get the bigger companies who, you know, come October, the winter months, like they want to have trucks in this area. They just take their drivers there now so they can get that extra rate spike.
Yeah.
Get a piece of it.
Interesting. Then they'll position them elsewhere.
So they'll take hits getting into those markets. Obviously, you know, those rates will be somewhat down depending on where they're coming from.
Right.
Like a good one for us would be like we have Ohio to Georgia and then Georgia back up to not Ohio, but the Northeast.
Right.
So that rate's pretty low going down there right now. Not super low. Like it's still a decent rate for the carriers.
Yeah.
But carriers will be a lot more aggressive in taking loads down and then they'll pick and choose coming back up. So it's worth it to them to,
because there's much more freight coming out of there.
Correct. I mean, you know, the world is their oyster down there.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That is. Have you noticed any differences since you've been on the West and the East team? Are there differences in the way that your carriers operate? Obviously the lanes are different, but like, I don't know, are there personalities different or anything? Like, is there differences?
Yeah. I'd say that the East Coast carriers, you know, I don't know if they all have like a group chat going on, but they are just like stuck on rates and it's super hard to, you know, negotiate down. Whereas when I was on the West, you'd have carriers that needed to get drivers back home. And usually you have like longer miles on those loads. Mm-hmm. Whereas like on the East, you know, metro to metro can be a lot shorter than metro to metro on the West Coast. When you have like loads with longer miles, gives us a little bit more leverage in negotiating rates. And
makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially if guys are going from West to East and like you said, they have to get back. There's not a lot of like New Jersey to Colorado lanes and then people coming back from Colorado, right? Typically you'd have a distribution center, primarily Mississippi River and East or the other way. But for some reason, inbound container ports to California, then it's got to go all the way across the country. Look at me, 17 years of the business, just working through the logistics network of the country. What other types of questions do they ask? I mean, you can kind of frame that as the East Coast versus West Coast or just in general. Obviously, I assume they have particular appointments and things like that they prefer.
Yeah, I mean, I think this a lot of what we're dealing with right now, carriers are trying to stretch like what technically should be like a two-day transit, like anywhere in like the 600, 700, 800 mile range. They're trying to get a next day delivery on that just so they can
maximize dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
So
legally, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
They're finding a way to do it.
Yeah.
Most of the time. A lot of times we've gotten them next day deliveries and been burned on that because they haven't made it.
Right.
But it's pretty wild the difference just adding that extra day can, you know, generate interest in your loads or decrease interest. So it's kind of a fine line we're walking right now. It's almost impossible to just not have the perfect transit and be profitable on a load right now.
Right. Yeah. Because the rate compression from the customer side, right, is so strong because there's such an abundance of capacity that there's people that are willing to take a risk or figure it out for a low rate. And then, yeah, when you actually go to execute it, right, the like you said, the 600 mile lane that picks up at 8 a.m. and has to deliver by 8 p.m. that night is pretty tough.
Yeah.
And we've definitely have more than those than we probably want on the board right now, but we're getting through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do the carriers care or are interested in data, like the data behind this? Because they are still technically a customer of ours, and we have the data to show when they cannot make this lane next day and the proof to show it. Does that help in any way with that negotiation, or is it just, no, this is the situation, this is what we want right now?
I just think that's how they've been operating, whether they're, you know, relaying loads to different drivers along the way or I don't know. I honestly don't know how they're doing it. Most of the time they're able to. I think the drivers want to stay busy as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're highly motivated to complete transits as scheduled. But yeah, really.
They want what they want.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Are you moving high-value shipments and experiencing increased theft? Well, if so, you are not alone. Cargo theft is actually at an all-time high, with stolen goods totaling an estimated $130 million in 2023. The good news is that Zipline Logistics offers unique and proven processes backed by innovative technology to ensure that your high-value freight is never at risk. These include an in-depth carrier qualification process, 24/7 real-time cargo tracking and monitoring, response operations for law enforcement engagement, carrier security compliance reporting, and time and temperature sensitive shipment management. To learn more about our cargo theft prevention process and to see what we can do for your brand, give us a call at 888-GO-ZIPLINE or click the link in the show notes. Now, let's get back to the episode.
A more emphasis on obviously loaded miles, right? I mean, I guess coming off of 2022, I don't think we necessarily saw people that would just sit because the dollars were so high, but maybe they would sit and wait. I feel like that happened a little bit more from 2020, you know, April 2020 to April 2022. It was, hey, I'm on Ohio to California and my rate is $9,000 and I'm not moving on it until you give me $9,000 and I'll just sit here and wait.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that, outbound Georgia especially. But yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. Carriers have definitely been more conscious of miles.
Yeah.
On loads. Like, they'll ask us if they don't have it right in front of them.
For some of our newer truckers, can you go over a little bit more about the loaded miles and what that means compared to, like, what a customer or a shipper is asking for in a transit?
Oh, boy. Jake, you want to take that one? Loaded miles, just like keeping your truck obviously filled with freight, right? So, like, you know, if...
Like, it's not, like, coming back empty. You're going somewhere with maximized trailer.
So, I think in my interpretation of this, let's say 2022, it kind of goes both ways. But the rates were so outrageous that, you know, if you wanted a deadhead 200 miles to go get a high-paying, a super high-paying load, right? Mm-hmm. It's all relative. Then that wasn't as big of a deal. Right now, because there's such an abundance of extra capacity, there's maybe a more willingness. It kind of goes against what we're talking about, but a more willingness to just jump on something and keep it loaded and get back to where you want to go. So that's kind of the example Jake gave with Ohio to Georgia. Is, like I said, maybe I'll take a lower rate or just get loaded quickly. That's closer to where I'm delivering in Ohio to get back down to Georgia. So then I can get a higher paying load out. Whereas again, back then it felt like there was people that would, you know, when you're making, let's call it $6,000 a load versus now when you're making $2,000 a load, you're much more willing to kind of pick and choose in that time period mm-hmm. than now where you kind of need to hustle a little bit more. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. So that's been a challenge, I think, and it's interesting to hear the positioning of trucks, right? I think in that COVID time period was like, we'll go everywhere because everywhere is high paying and I don't really care. Mm-hmm. But there's a pretty big difference when, you know, you go from, let's call it New York to California, and right now we're paying 87 cents a mile or something like that. And because the miles are so high and we were paying $1.87 or whatever, maybe more, in 2020 to 2022. So there's just a more, I guess, more focus. I think the carriers that have been able to stick around for the last 2 years are getting more strategic, it sounds like, which is interesting. They're learning.
Yeah.
Let's talk about recent, it says recent fun stories here on our notes, but I don't know if we have any recent fun stories. But I know, Jake, when you first started, we were moving a lot of partial loads out of Canada, building some malls building some stores at malls across the country.
Yeah,
that was always fun. Definitely get some interesting characters on those loads with us. Maybe not, you know, they were vetted and as honest folks, and maybe not the most upfront of where their trucks actually were.
That was a good time. That was like the wild, wild west.
Yeah.
You're like, so many more restrictions in place now. We can't just.
Yeah. Know. Yeah, you've been here, I guess, since the ELDs have been mandated and things of that nature. Certainly the tools that we're using as far as carrier qualifications, that's definitely helped our security, which has been a big problem over the last couple of years. But yeah, it was a little bit of, hey, when you're back against the wall and you only have three options to move a load, that's difficult from, you know, outbound Toronto to Tallahassee, Florida.
Is that why you're so chill? Like, I feel like I've been copied on emails where the carriers are not talking to you nicely and you're just like, no problem. Got it. On it. Like, it's actually amazing. I would not react that way.
It's just, you don't want to expend too much energy going back and forth with them. You could do it daily. You know, you have circumstances like that daily. So I try to just, like you said, stay calm. Keep it chill. There will be a tomorrow. A lot of times these carriers are just, you know, they're so worried about keeping their drivers moving that when there's issues that arise, they want an answer as soon as possible. And even though they know, like, you know, in this industry, it takes time to get answers on certain things. So, yeah, me getting irritated back at them isn't going to help anything. So
it works. Well done. Always calms me down, too. It's nice.
I will say there have been a few occasions.
Good.
Yeah, that hasn't been the case, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely you get pushed into just a reaction, and sometimes it's needed, right?
Yeah.
Hey, told you exactly what I'm doing, and you were, I like the one that's, I'm 2 hours late, or like there's clearly something that's gone wrong on their end and now it's your fault. And you're like, I am not in charge of, you know, the warehouse receiving at this particular consignee, and you were 3 hours late for your appointment. So I don't know how you're that people are getting in front of you who have actual delivery scheduled.
And
so
they think that us not having an answer for them is beneficial for us too. It's like, no, like we want an answer on this just as much as you do. So you stop bothering us. Like,
yeah,
we're trying to make this happen as soon as we can.
What's your, do you have a favorite memory in your 7 years here? I know you've had a lot of coworkers that have come through the doors here at Zipline.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of strong relationships I've built here, friendships that'll last past work. I do have to mention, I am the fantasy football commissioner here.
Mm-hmm. Those are good memories? Those are fun memories?
Well, I mean, the drafts,
most of them are.
The drafts are. Maybe the conclusion of the season hasn't been kind to me, but the starts, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of hope.
Yeah, the golf pools, you know.
You've won it. You've won the Fantasy Football League, haven't you?
No.
You have not won it. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was just wanted to confirm that. I have won it. I'm on the trophy. That's been fun. Yeah, I did know. Shout out to you. You know, you participated in the golf outing. I noticed there was a lot of old zipliners or former zipliners, I guess, who came back and participated. That was fun.
Zipline alumni showed up strong there.
Yeah,
it was a great time.
That's very exciting.
Hot. Very hot.
Yeah, it was. It has been hot here in Columbus. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it as usual. Jake Shaw, East Region 7-year vet of Zipline Logistics, thank you for joining us. Thank you for always keeping an even keel, like Teddy mentioned, and being a professional. We appreciate it. Shout out to our listeners. Like and subscribe. Leave a 5-star review everywhere where you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, etc. It helps us grow, get more guests, and talk about more hot topics that you like to listen to. So, Jake, thanks again. Thanks again to all of our listeners here at the Zipline Logistics Podcast. We'll see you next time.